More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. This Friday, the 34th annual Boise Pride Festival kicks off, celebrating the LGBTQ plus community. And every summer, the event seems to get bigger and better, and this year is no exception. Joining us today to talk more about the upcoming celebration is Donald Williamson, Executive Director of Boise Pride. It's nice to have you on the program.
That's nice to be here. Thank you.
So, Donald, can you talk to us about the theme of this year's festival, which is Be Loud and Be Proud?
Actually, coming across this year's theme was kind of new for us. We wanted to see about finding ways to incorporate the voice of the community more. So we actually made a competition earlier this year on our social media channels to accept submissions for ideas for this year's themes. And then we reduced that down to a handful and put it back out to the community for a vote. And the Be Proud and Be Loud is the theme that the community settled on.
So why is an event like this so incredibly important?
It's important because it can be really easy in a state like Idaho when members of this community are constantly being attacked through the legislature, through religious organizations in the state, and just various other avenues that kind of attacks happen. It's important for this community to know that they do have a large base of supporters that are behind them, that they're not alone, that they are seen, that they are heard, because it can feel lonely at times, I'm sure. So it's a means for this community to get together, to celebrate each other and accept each other, and just to kind of build those connections within the community.
Mm-hmm. Last year there was some pushback from folks within the Republican Party regarding sponsors. So I'm curious about how things are going this year, because I have not been hearing much. So that sometimes can be a good sign.
It's been going great. I mean, even with the pushback we had last year, we still had a record number of entries in the parade, a record number of vendors and exhibits that were tabling at the festival last year. We had an amazing turnout for only a couple of years removed from COVID, and the success was huge. This year, we've actually broken the records again, and we've raised more money this year than last year. I think historically we've had somewhere around the low to mid 90s for exhibits or booths at the festival. Last year we broke that with 113. This year we're packing them in at 137, and I still had to turn people away because we just don't have enough room. The Wow. parade historically has had 30 to 40 entries on average. Last year we broke that record with, I believe, 71 was the final count for entries, and we've broken that again this year. We have just over 80 entries this year in the Pride Parade Festival, Pride Parade this weekend. So it's going great.
And there's going to be some new events this year, correct?
There's a couple of new things this year. I think one that's getting a lot of attention right now is on Sunday afternoon, the Pride Pet Runway. It's going to be hosted by Virgo Moon, as a local drag queen. And there's a lot of interest on our social media channels with people wanting to enter their pets for that. So that should be fun.
So, Donald, I know the lighting of the Capitol building is really an iconic part of the festival. Sounds like you guys have been facing a bit of a challenge this year in making that happen. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it seems like it's been every other year for the last several years. And the difference comes between whether we're able to use lighting and set it up right directly in front of the Capitol on the north side of the street. And on the years that we've had issues like this year, we have to set them up across the street. And that just requires a completely different type of light. It requires more of them to be able to project that across to the Capitol and still have it be effective. And so, last year we were able to put them in front of the Capitol. Everything went great. That director early in the year, said that we were on board to basically just to do a repeat of last year. So we budgeted for that. Then he retired and they had an interim director and they changed course on that, mid stride. And so we had to shuffle some things around and we were going to go forward with it. It was never a question of whether we were going to light the Capitol or not. It was a matter of where we were going to find the funds, because that was it was going to be over $10,000 more than what we had budgeted. And the community came through huge. We had Lime Scooters, who's a brand new sponsor this year, that stepped up and they filled the gap between what the community had raised in a couple of weeks. And then they made up the difference. So we don't have to worry about stressing about the budget for that. And we'll get to light the Capitol yet again.
So I know you talked about how you've been breaking records, right, with sponsors and with, you know, float entrances, parade entrances and all of that. I am assuming you might be breaking records then when it comes to attendees. How many people are you planning to see at this weekend's event?
You know, it's kind of up in the air. I mean, it's I could see anywhere between 50 and upwards of 70,000. I really don't know what to expect this other than we're going to have huge crowds. You know, prior to COVID, we were the second largest or the second fastest growing festival in the nation for Pride celebrations. And then we were expecting, I want to say they were projecting like around 80,000 attendees for the 3-day event in 2020. But then COVID came and shut everything down. Mm. So when we 2021, when we put the, that was 2019, my apologies. 2020, we didn't have a festival. So in 21 is when we initially moved it to September for the first time. And we had our COVID protocols and testing requirements and vaccine requirements. And we had somewhere in the neighborhood, I want to say around 40,000 people that year. So we had a great turnout, especially because people were kind of hesitant about, you know, is it okay to start doing public things again? And we had an incredibly safe event. You know, last year, even with, you know, some of the pushback we were seeing, I think we hit somewhere around 50,000 for the year. So if we're getting back to numbers like, you know, more normal, like what we were seeing prior, it could be bigger, could be huge.
So what are you looking forward to the most when it comes to Pride this weekend?
You know, I'm sappy. At the end of the day, what I love seeing the most is when the festival kicks off and just seeing this community get together and just the happiness on everybody's faces, kind of enjoying each other and the celebration that goes on. It's a pretty special event. From a selfish standpoint, probably like most people, I'm looking forward to Big Frida. I'm really looking forward to Neptune on Saturday. You know, a couple of the new events that we're doing. There's a lot to look forward to, but I think biggest for me personally is just seeing that community get together.
Well, best of luck for this weekend. Really appreciate you coming in today and talking to us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.